good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 27th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisorette Estelle Fennell. Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
You know, I'm almost starting to breathe normal. It's cool. It's really nice to see fog with no smoke.
It's beautiful.
And not have the panic of all these fires around.
It's one of those beautiful Octobers. I was looking back over, well, it's not October yet, but looking forward.
Fall.
Yeah. Well, looking back on last year, we had a ton of rain in October, but so far for the first 10 or so days, it says we're going to be nice and clear. So I'm looking
forward
to this.
Clear is good, nice is good, yes.
Fall weather, not too hot, not too cold. Let's enjoy it while we can.
I think we may have talked two shows back when you were the enterprising news reporter and the Salmon Creek fire and how things kind of developed. It's been a period of time since then with the fires around, whether it was in the Ruth area or Crescent City, east of us, or whether it's north of us. Are there lessons that the county OES should learn? You know, I'm a big fan of gap management.
Yeah.
So we're never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. How are we narrowing? I mean, we learned three or four things here at the company. Yeah, and we've been playing this game for, I don't know, 50, 60 years. Is the county take the opportunity? Is there an overt effort to learn and to narrow it?
Yes, I would say yes. Dory Lanny is our OES director, and we were just talking about that recently. We were talking about the fires, but we were also talking about Harvey and Irma and all of them. You learn from every single event if you're paying attention and if you're trying to do the right thing. One of the things that came up for us is, what can the county do regarding smoke? We created a couple of clean rooms as the smoke was coming down to more into Humboldt County. But in the northern part of Humboldt County, that was really essential for people who couldn't.
Well, in the Orleans area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It was really, really important. But I think, you know, one thing that I remember from years ago was, we need to have sensors throughout the county. So we know specifically where there's heavy particulate matter.
Well, you've got the communication towers already.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, since you already got the structure, you just strap something onto it and have the equivalent of a massive wireless router.
No kidding.
So you can monitor it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that idea. But but those are the kind of things. And, you know, one of the things that happens in these is that at one point there was an event and the county gave out a whole bunch of masks. There were loaners, but got very few of them back. That's kind of a difficult situation there, because how can you budget for that? But, yeah, we learn from everyone, and I haven't spoken yet with Dory about, you know, any kind of changes we're going to make because of the latest thing, but that's definitely an issue. And personally, from being in the south part of the county, for some reason, and I know what the reason is, the winds are northerly in the summer. We very often get the smoke from up north.
It is interesting, looking back on what happened in Brookings, Fred Meyer stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave out, it's not the painter things, but it's the next one down, available.
That's a beautiful thing.
Work through the county.
Mm-hmm.
And now the magnitude was far less because the numbers are so few, in relative speaking.
Yeah.
But I wonder if some of these large retailers that are in the area might be an opportunity for the county to go to. I mean, it's not an ongoing thing all the time.
Yeah.
But if there was a situation again, or mm-hmm. when there is a situation again, that perhaps some of those connections might be the way to go, instead of the county having to cough it up, or those individuals, because they tend to be older, tend to be on fixed income, tend to have the medical costs already,
right.
you know, with the cost of medical care going screaming through the roof already, let alone next January.
Yeah.
There won't be a lot of wiggle room there, but I'm wondering if that might be the opportunity that's there.
I love that idea, Brian, and it's actually an integral part right now of emergency response, definitely. Every scenario we do, we fold in local businesses, because businesses traditionally step up. They really do. Look at what Harvey did. I mean, I think that you're going to see a lot of that because that's a proven model. And people want to help, you know. So,
unfortunately, yeah, I don't know who the OES contact is for Curry County, but Dory can make contact.
Yeah.
Certainly with Gold Beach and find out what was going on. I guess those are some of the things that I look at in these scenarios. Okay, Harvey, we didn't get impacted.
No. But we can learn from what happened there.
And what lessons do tornadoes have for us? Or
flooding.
Yeah, that kind
storm
of stuff.
Damage.
We are somewhat experts in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we have 100% knowledge.
One of the things we just did recently, which is something that's always fascinated me, is how do we handle an extended power outage? And right now,
like Puerto Rico
is in a really bad situation. How do you plan for it? We just did an exercise on that a couple of weeks ago. And it's a frightening prospect if it goes beyond a week, let's say. You know, if you have something, we're generally aim ourselves towards a 72-hour period, you know, have enough supplies for 72 hours, et cetera, et cetera. When something goes beyond that, and most disasters do, now you've got the supplies coming in, you've got the communication between all the various agencies. What if there's no power? What if there's no communication? That's a real problem. And so we're looking at that more and more. I know it's a very, very far-fetched kind of thing to contemplate an EMP, which is the idea that there can be an explosion in the upper atmosphere and that throws out the grid. But what about a cyber attack? You know, you can have those kind of things too.
You don't have to worry too much because nothing's going to be driving around except for the old leaders, right?
Yeah, that exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of that kind of stuff. And then what is the risk assessment also versus the investment, financial investment? KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action all season long. Brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, one of the temptations, I would think, particularly in small little rurals like where we are, is to rely on what we have done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that may have worked, and that may not have worked, and the situations may be similar, the situations may be totally different.
Yeah.
Okay. The fear that I have got is that in these times when we're go through it, that we don't have it put in place structurally, we have it put in place personality.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I get on the horn and I call Estelle.
Well,
that's great as long as Estelle is still
involved
and as long as I'm involved.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, not these people, but this is what you do and this is the protocol. And take the people out of it so that me calling you or you calling me is extras.
Yeah.
Not the only way things get done. How much would you think that with the planning that is done and the tabletop exercises mm-hmm. you do is structural versus personality.
Well, to be fair, the ICS, Incident Command System, is totally structural. It is set up that way, and the tabletop exercises drum that home. So, yes, those exercises kind of put you in that position of like, well, what would you do if this and this and this? And people would, but well, I would call my friend over at Ace Hardware. Well, how about if you're not friends with Ace Hardware? You know, that kind of thing. So I think that bottom line, the structure is extremely important because, for instance, your friend might have fallen victim to a situation. But the key here, as we were discussing earlier, is communication. That is like the bottom line in the middle of an emergency. Everybody in the world is going to want to contact everybody else in the world, and they may jam things up. That's an old-fashioned problem. You were saying our old things, you know.
Well, cell phones.
Don't jam up the phone, blah, blah, blah. Well, now you've got cell phones. In Harvey,
doesn't take nearly as long to jam it now.
right. But I know that in Harvey, some of the clever and well-prepared wireless providers actually did have gas tanks available to keep on refurbishing their generators. That's smart planning, you know. From the government point of view, you need to really take into account radio. We're talking on the radio right now. That's really the fallback, unless the towers are blown up or whatever. Radio, it
even
will
that,
withstand.
We still get it out, you know.
Yeah,
that.
And ham operators.
But
I've
to get the information
that.
Here. And that's one of the things
you make. You have to make the connection that, like, we have to contact radio, like that. No, and I will tell you that ICS is slipping in the direction of social media. I see that even in one exercise we did out in Virginia, they had one person sending things out over Facebook. Well, what if Facebook is non-existing?
One of the things that I don't. So it's all secondhand,
mm-hmm.
is the information is misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
And then half or more of the energies are putting out the rumors that come off of.
Absolutely.
Have you ever had an email misinterpreted?
You know, I know.
10% of communication is the word. 90% is the nonverbal, the tones, the inflection, mm-hmm. the smiles, the foreheads, the whole. Email doesn't have any of that stuff,
yeah.
and you don't hear it,
yeah.
where with the spoken word, you mm-hmm. hear what's going on.
And
I think that's really going to be a huge, huge challenge. Our next earthquake, if it shoots out just through press releases and Facebook, you're going to be putting out so many rumors.
Yes, I agree with that.
It's going to become counterproductive.
No, radio... Marginally TV, because a lot of times TV will go out, but TV as well. But honestly,
well, they need those things.
But radio is, right. I mean, radio you can hear anywhere, as you know, in your car, at your home, walking along with a little transistor, even on your phone, you can hear the radio. So I think that's really solid. You don't want to give that up. In that exercise I was telling you about in Virginia, you had people that were actually tasked with rumor control. There was so much, and that was the setup from NCIS, which they knew that's how things would go. People will be coming and complaining, etc., spreading false information, and you have to actually task somebody to take care of that. So that's somebody right in the center of the ICS system.
Well, one of the gap managements that came out of the hurricanes, I think this is more Irene than it was with Harvey, is that there is now a significant growing push to require cell phone FM chips to be activated.
Mm.
Right now, iPhone doesn't, for proprietary reasons. They want you to have to buy their stuff instead of pick up off air.
Okay.
And so that might be part of that mm-hmm. residual from what was learned there.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things that are going on. What I would hate to find out is that it was all reaction instead of planned.
Yeah.
And that's the fear.
Yeah. And I think even though, as you say, we don't have hurricanes here, at least not yet, and hopefully never, we have pretty, you know, significant storms. So when it comes to weather, you can kind of predict, you can set up, you can go out there and get your generators filled, you can stage things. Earthquake, not so much. Earthquake actually requires forward planning of a more significant and deep nature. It's like, what if the earthquake happens? Where do we have our supplies located, staged? Who's going to come in? All of those things. So it's a little bit more forward planning.
Plan. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDAC. Estelle, one of the things that has been curious for me, and I've asked, and nobody seems to have the answer. You remember at the turn of the century, right?
Yes.
The whole Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
Generators. What happened to them all? My biggest fear is that this backup power we don't got.
Mm-hmm.
And all these generators either disappeared or black marketed or went out in the hills to the grows or wherever they went. I don't know. But it seems like very few people have got these generators, whether it's for 72 hours, 2 weeks, whatever it might happen to be.
Yeah.
Is the county ready if power gets now?
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of county offices, communications, law enforcement are able to communicate to anybody? Phone systems.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it all gets downsized pretty quickly.
As you will consolidate on demand. Okay.
Consolidate on demand. And, of course, an incident command center is set up, and there are even contingency plans for if the earthquake destroys the county building where it is now, what would be the other area we would go to? We make those kind of plans. In this case, even though, as you said, plans, sounds ineffectual, it's extremely important, and the exercises are even more important. So as far as the generators go, I agree, there's got to be, like, I don't know, thousands of them in Humboldt County, and very sophisticated. Some of them are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, so they can keep you going for quite a while.
Simple things like telephones. Mm-hmm. We've got a ring phone.
That's the one that works when
everything
else goes
away. Because if the computer system goes down,
mm-hmm,
and the cell phones aren't working.
Yeah.
Okay, there's one. And that by design, that's why we have it.
That's why I never got rid of it. I don't hardly use my landline anymore, but, you know, I still have it.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's those are the types of things I think that a lot of folks, you know, the 72 hours, I bet you if we really pulled an exercise, I know we've got the test later on today or next week. It's next week with a national OES,
mm-hmm,
or EAS thing. But how many people could make it 3 days without power? Just now.
It is really
gasoline,
scary, Brian. It
water,
is.
Water.
Yeah.
You know, had a buddy say, "Yeah, I've got 2 weeks worth of food." And I said, "Good." "And what's it in?" "Oh, we're with cans and in it, so refrigerator." "Good. Do you have a can opener?"
I know.
"No." "Okay."
"No."
I mean, those kinds of little things that a lot of folks, or they've got a lot of camping supplies.
Yeah, we have really electronified our world. I mean, really, literally, you know, the whole idea of clapping your hands and turning the light on, or everything is at this point completely geared towards computer control. And we need to be mindful that that will all go away if the
or could. Could. Or could be spotty or, yeah. or that kind of stuff. It just...
Well, we need... that's why there's being mindful. I mean, you have to remember what the basics are, because that's what you'll be back to if you have a catastrophic event. And
so we still have our mimeograph machine, do you?
Oh, wait, I don't... forget about the mimeograph machine. If you've got one, you'll be very popular.
I probably run out of the ink, though, right? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I just thought...
Really? Do you have one?
No.
No, do you...
No, that was one of the things I can remember.
Do you have a Super 8 player?
Yeah. No 8 tracks either.
No 8 tracks, was for what,
I was one of the initial memories of being out here growing up was Grandpa had under the back windows there that there was some cabinets and there was... the mimeograph machine, and there were the tubes of the purple ink.
Oh my God!
I made a mistake a couple months ago now, and called the printer duplicator a copier.
Oh!
And of course, our 20 somethings all had great fun, pointing out how old I am. But some of those old things that are mechanical still need to be. What's in play?
I know. I mean, and again, I agree with you. You have to have backup power, and you have to have plans for who will do that.
If you can't come in, let's say overpasses have dropped, or bridges are out, or pick your poison, doesn't matter, and you can't make it in, how do they contact you as a supervisor?
Well, we have the whole other thing too of satellite phones. Which I don't have, but...
Well, that's handy.
I might one day. But we also have access to phones with the FEMA code. So we can override...
So there are some back doors.
We have some back doors.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got to get one of those. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back to talk shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, what do you see as the elephant in the room regarding emergency preparation or lack of preparation?
I honestly think that all of the county agencies and cities, we actually did our last exercise in cooperation with the city. I think we're all working on it. Individuals, not so much. And it's really, really hard to get that message out there. It's like it's extremely important. If you can do nothing else, have at least 72 hours worth of survival supplies, water, etc., available. It is frightening how quickly things just disintegrate. I mean, we've seen that now. It's a tried and true story for the TV, the empty shelves in the supermarkets, etc. That's not an apocalyptic vision. That's something that actually happens in your average disaster.
It is kind of intriguing. We don't see those runs with earthquake.
No.
And maybe it's because we're a little bit more dull-witted. But
well, it depends.
It's amazing when you go to any of the larger grocery stores and just see the amount that gets sold on a minute-by-minute basis how quick it would be for those shelves to be empty if the trucks weren't showing up.
Right, and I forget the name of it now, but there is a model that was developed, within the last decade or two maybe, for chain stores, for food stores, etc. And that is, you basically only had
just-in-time inventory. No back room, so to speak.
No back room. So that means, you know, all of the things that we're used to surviving on. I mean, we don't grow rice in Humboldt County. You know what I mean? There's a lot we would not have very, very quickly.
Well, and that's one of the things that Rex Bone had pointed out. Historically, we had distribution centers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have them anymore. And that during those prolonged periods, they were still here. It was just a matter of getting it from the warehouse out to the store.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Typically. But when you don't have the distribution centers here anymore and everybody's bringing things in on trucks.
And they're coming from far away.
Now you're exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that I would like to see.
Yeah.
In Pabstein's perfect world, is we would have some distribution warehouses that were here. Maybe it's an entrepreneurial model. Maybe it's something that OES would need to be engaged with somehow. But that there would be these facilities, I don't know. 100,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, something that's fairly significant that would have these items that don't have shelf life.
Yeah.
I mean, you rotate them every 6 months or every 2 years, something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for example, how do you know if a Triscuit is stale? I don't know if it can be.
Some of them certainly last quite a long time. And they'll keep you alive.
Yeah. So to have some of those dry goods stored, and maybe that's what the Red Cross ideally would like to have, or Salvation Army would ideally like to have, but my sense is that it would have to be some kind of a private public
or something along
those lines.
There was a phase, and I'm going to say it was at least 10 years, if not 15 years ago. Dan Larkin was the OES manager, and I think it was after 9/11, but there were a lot of goods distributed to emergency shelters, but they weren't things like food. It was more like medicine, cots, those kind of emergencies.
Socks, jackets,
those kind of
stuff. Whatever it would be, it would seem, particularly in an area like ours that is prone to wet, to wind, to shake, it's going to happen. Why we aren't spending some of the resources in that direction?
That's a good thought. That's really a good thought.
Ah, see, there's your walk away. I knew I could get you something.
You had
make
a good
it worthwhile.
Idea.
Yeah. Particularly as you're going off on your travels, you know, something to kick around. Because it's not just us.
Yes.
Obviously, it's a pretty much anywhere. I hate to be in San Francisco and try to have to coordinate something like that. But if you're in Inyo or Alturas or Humboldt, yeah, it's a possible.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
There's your idea.
Thank you, Brian.
You just had to sift through all this other stuff to get there. See everybody tomorrow.